folks. We are live. It is the 26th of March, Thursday evening, soon to be Friday. End of the week, little weekend time, little weekend warrior time. Maybe not so much. Well, you can catch up on the Info Warrior as a weekend warrior. We post it all over at Info Warrior or theinfowarrior.com. We got a special guest on tonight. It was great. We had Patrice O'Neill on the Alex Jones Show today, and I really dig Patrice's stuff. He's a funny guy. And again, he's another vehicle to reach out to people that normally wouldn't look at this information. We're going to be having him on tomorrow night, but I thought it'd be fun. We were contacted by another comedian out there. He's just in the LA Times, Sheldon Anderson. He's going to be on in the second hour. So I'm going to do a little bit of a news blitz, then we're going to take your calls, then we're going to have Sheldon Anderson on. Might take your calls at the end of that segment. I haven't really decided yet. And then in the top of the third hour, more news and your calls. But I got a tip today, and I don't know if it's true, but if it is true, you know what, I'm going to have to jump out and go check Fox News and make sure we're taping. But apparently Glenn Beck has gone to the good people at Popular Mechanics to debunk the FEMA camps, folks. That's the word on the street, is that Glenn Beck is now going to be debunking FEMA camps with the good folks from Hearst Publications, Popular Mechanics. Now, I warned you about this heinous, disingenuous, anything but gentleman, Glenn Beck. And I will be shocked if this report is fair and balanced. Look, we have the legislation right here. And InfoWars did a story on it back in January that really covers it almost from top to bottom. Let me pull that one up there. I gave it to the guys as well. We'll pull it up on PrisonPlanet.tv for you. This was January 27th, 2009. New legislation authorizes FEMA camps in the United States. And this is kind of hitting all over. Michael Shadovsky, who is from Global Research, he's been on the Jones Show many a times, talked about many of the things that are inconsistent in the official version of 9/11, has also picked up on this as well. It's H.R. 645-IH, 111th Congress, first session, and just go through the bill. I mean, it's designation of military installations as national emergency centers. Schwarzenegger is now rounding homeless people up and saying that they have to go to the official part behind, fences and camps. This is insanity. And then you read this GIVE Act, okay? It's anything but giving. People wonder how they're going to get so many people to join this thing. Well, right here in section 1801 of the GIVE Act is when they have their call to service campaign, which will be on September 11th, by the way. They're piggybacking on the tragedy to try to, you know, get emotions through, get the agenda passed. They're telling you that you can... No matter, here it is, call to service campaign to encourage all people of the United States, regardless of age, race, ethnicity, religion, or economic status, to engage in full or part-time national service. Now, if you're full-time national service, you're not going to have a job. How else could you do it? How could you be a full-time national service representative if you have a job? Doesn't make any sense. They're going to be knocking on doors. And right above it is the Centralized Electronic Citizenship Verification System. We're going to be going through that. We're going to be going through the Pentagon plans to regrow human body parts and much, much more. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. The call in line is 866-582-9933. Senate votes to drastically expand AmeriCorps. The Senate votes 78 to 20 to increase AmeriCorps despite concerns from some conservatives that it could allow politically charged groups to benefit from extra funding. Now, I'm not sure if this is just the Give Act or just a portion of the Give Act. This is coming out of Fox News. The Senate on Thursday approved a major national service bill that triples the AmeriCorps program. Despite concerns from conservatives that could allow politically charged groups to benefit from extra funding. That's the least of the concerns. The Senate voted 78 to 20 to increase AmeriCorps to 250,000 from its current 75,000 positions. Folks, that's more than triple. More than triple 75,000. Think about that. Why such a drastic change? The legislation is expected to cost $6 billion over 5 years. Yeah, right. It's going to cost a lot more than that. The House could take up the bill as early as Monday, sending it then to President Obama for his signature. The package, called the Generations Invigorating Volunteerism and Education Act, or GIVE Act, the one we've been talking about, encourages a broad range, here's the spin, folks, of Americans to give back to their communities. It would create 5 groups to help poor people improve education, encourage energy efficiency, strengthen access to health care, and assist veterans. Really? I mean, really? We know this isn't what this is about. This is about indoctrinating your children into service corps for 50 hours a year. 50 hours a year when they're in middle school, and 100 hours a year when they're in high school, and 100 hours a year if they decide to go to college. And if they don't decide to go to college through this little program, they'll be forced to go to a secondary school. And you know what? Right here in the bill that I'm holding, see, here's the bill, Library of Congress, that's where we got it off the site. We're not making it up, all right? Right here in the bill, it explains the Call to Service campaign and September 11th day of service, Section 198, as amended by subsection blah, blah, blah. So, again, they're trying to incorporate 9/11 as a tragedy and bring this in. Call to service campaign not less than 180 days after enactment of this act. That's 6 months. So that's a fast-track legislation, especially if this is going to go to Obama's signature this week. Think of that. This is 6 months away. 6 months. I mean, come on. And no one's doing anything about it? Give me a break. The corporation, because again, this is the Corporation for National and Community Service. They're setting up a new corporation for this. It's odd how it's a corporation. Does that mean it's going to be a total private entity? It encourages all people of the United States, regardless of age, race, ethnicity, religion, or economic status. So in other words, your kids can get involved. We're all going to do it together. See, age is a big thing here. To engage in full or part-time national service. Full or part-time, everybody. Everybody. And look, for the September 11th day of service, I just want to read these three different things. Because think, when genuine people that know what happened on 9/11, not people that are part of some mindless political agenda, sheep-like following Obama because they think he's a great leader, we're going to be demonized. Yet, they're going to be there with their little federal suits, and they're going to be like, oh, look at our permits, and oh, we're here for the families, and we're here for America. It's disgusting. Federal activities. Subsection 1 of K. The corporation may organize and carry out appropriate ceremonies and activities. See, ceremonies and activities, which may include activities that are part of a broader call to service campaign. You see, they're going to be recruiting people on this day, playing on their emotions while they're very vulnerable. In order to observe September 11th, National Day of Service, and Remembrance at the federal level. Two, activities. The corporation may make grants. In other words, they'll have Uber funding to stage their own little ceremonies all over the country. Their fake little propaganda. Oh, this boils my blood. And provide other support to community-based organizations to assist in planning and carrying out appropriate service, charity, and remembrance opportunities in conjunction with the September 11th National Day of Service and Remembrance. 3. Consultation. The corporation may consult and make grants or provide other forms of support to nonprofit organizations with expertise in representing September 11th families and other impacted constituencies in promoting the establishment of September 11th as an annually recognized National Day of Service and Remembrance. Do you understand how funny it is, how sickly disgusting it is, that the people that actually carry this out are going to turn a day that they murdered thousands of American citizens into a day where we will openly accept our slavery and servitude with a smile? Am I the only one that's drawing that? I mean, think about that. We're going to pick the day we killed a bunch of people. We'll use that event to go into two Middle Eastern nations and kill a bunch of people. And then we'll go back to the nation that we carried it out in. And we'll make them love their new servitude for this National Day of Remembrance under the Give Act, part of the new Stasi force. It's vomitous. Vomitous. No shock here, but the U.S. economy shrinks, profits plunge in the fourth quarter. Now, I had to watch Obama give his little speech and say the dollar is strong and we're not looking at a global currency and all this other Johnny nonsense. And these are the headlines. U.S. corporate profits, and this is off of what, Reuters? It's got to be at Reuters. U.S. corporate profits plunged a record $120.1 billion in the fourth quarter as the economy shrank at its fastest pace since 1982. Wow, 1982. I know a lot of people listening to this weren't even born in 1982. I was a toddler in 1982. In another snapshot of the distressed economy, the number of workers collecting state jobless benefits rose to a record 5.56 million earlier this month. We're at record highs of people accepting unemployment. These are pretty standard when you're in what is becoming a depression. If we're not already in one. I mean, we've been in a recession for years now. They've done it incrementally, and now they're just taking it over the top. The Commerce Department said after-tax corporate profits dropped 10.7% in the fourth quarter, the largest decline since the first quarter of 1994. Profits fell $5.2 billion in the third quarter. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Domestic profits of financial firms skidded $178.7 billion. Compared with 75.5 billion decline in the third quarter. So they're more than doubling each time, each quarter. That's how bad the losses are getting. That's how bad it is out there. But a lot of you know it. I mean, a lot of you are losing your jobs now. A lot of you realize there's no pension. A lot of you realize there's no 401k. Some of you are realizing that the only way to really protect yourself is to invest in gold and silver and watch what you do with these banks. But I don't think enough of you are realizing that this truly is about a global banking system. The IMF is poised to print a world currency right now. The G20 is going to be a huge event for this. I mean, what's the 26th? All right. So I believe Obama is set to go to the G20 on April 2nd. And he meets with the Queen before that. I believe that's going to be either April 1st or the 31st of March. And first of all, the IMF is only, quote-unquote, considering this global quantitative easing program with a global supercurrency because people in the U.S. Treasury Department, that's in the article, people in the U.S. Treasury Department are asking for it. But then they get up before Congress, scumbags like Geithner.
No, we're not planning on doing that. We might be open to it. We're not planning on doing that.
And then Bernanke, you know, Federal Reserve Chairman, talk about another thug for a criminal organization. No, we're not going to do that. You watch what comes out of the G20. You watch what the headlines are. I mean, get ready. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. The 2 million acres that would designate... Oh, I'm sorry, this is a different one. Congress approves landmark conservation bill. Here's another big land grab bill. I couldn't even get the bill number from this because I wanted to look into it. and see what else, what other goodies they have, because we're always talking about a carbon tax here, because obviously that is part of the plan, part of the restructuring process of this global supercurrency, part of this global new deal that Gordon Brown is talking about. Congress approves landmark conservation bill. The measure, a package of more than 160 bills. 160 bills. So I have to go through 160 bills. This is a packaged bill. Oh, my God. Would set aside about 2 million acres, parks, rivers, streams, desert, forest, and trails in 9 states as new wilderness and render them off limits to oil and gas drilling and other development. See, they make it seem like they're trying to protect all of us from the corporations. The truth of the matter is, they're just trying to grab it for themselves. We're going to go to your calls after this. We got a ton more news. We got Sheldon Anderson in the second hour. PrisonPlanet.tv, InfoWars.com. And we're just going to go right to your calls right now. We'll get through some more of the news later, and then we have Sheldon Anderson on in the next hour. Let's go to Cliff in Colorado. Cliff, what's popping?
Hey, thanks a lot for all you do. I just wanted to recommend a book, and the author is a guest for you. Actually, Alex had him, Jeffrey Grupp, and the book is Corporatism. Let me give you a little synopsis of it. It's monopolistic mega corporations control all aspects of life using false flag terror, brainwashing, vaccine chemtrails, dumbed down media, the destruction of nature and society. Their agenda is a Hitlerian global prison planet of death camps. Yeah, it's a really good read. Gets into chemtrails pretty good. Talks about Morgellons disease. Are you familiar with that?
I have heard about Morgellons. Isn't it that synthetic disease that can get under your skin and just replicate and replicate and replicate?
Exactly. It's like a nano bioweapon.
Yeah, a lot of people don't understand nanotechnology are these small little robots that act kind of like bacteria, only they are microscopic robots, but again, act like bacteria, and it's like the next level of bioengineering.
Exactly, and I guess if two people that have it get in contact with each other, there's like an attraction between their Morgellon nano cells or whatever that are within them. It's just kind of mind blowing. But yeah, anyway, if you could have him as a guest, I think that would be great.
All right, I'll put him on the list. I'd like to read the book first. We're actually going to be having. I'm trying to read this. Family of Secrets by Russ Baker. Jones just had him on, and that's a thick book. But we're going to try to get... I think we have actually booked him. I think he's going to be on next week. So, you know, we're trying to get better guests for the show. But, you know, I do like to... Like with Jim Mars, I can talk to Jim Mars because I've read a couple of his books. I was kind of disappointed I didn't read The Fourth Reich, having him come in. Same with Tarpley, but Tarpley stuff is so long. But I'll definitely check it out, man.
Yeah, well, actually, that's how I got turned on to corporatism was... in the back of Obama's postmodern coup, further reading by Progressive Press, corporatism was in there. And that synopsis I just read was out of the back of Tarpley's book. Yeah, go ahead and read it. You know, it's kind of like a, New World Order 101 type book, but the way that he brings all the different elements together, I hadn't seen in a book before.
All right, thanks for the call. I appreciate that, Cliff. I'll check it out. Definitely will. Let's go to Chuck in North Carolina. Chuck, what's on your mind?
Yeah, man. Just this MIAC thing and everything going on with the way they want to profile all of us.
You know, the guy had to, I think it was the mayor of Missouri had to, was it the mayor, Paul?
Governor.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The governor of Missouri had to apologize and say that they weren't going to distribute it any longer.
Yeah, but he really didn't apologize.
Oh, it was a half-hearted one, but just the fact that they had to have a press conference about it gives us a small victory. It lets us know that we gave them as much of a headache as we could, you know, through faxes and telephone calls to at least get a response and acknowledgement and to bring that story into the mainstream, because without, you know, all the info warriors out there, it wouldn't have gotten mainstream attention.
Well, exactly. And that's the other part of the thing I wanted to bring up today. I think, as info warriors, we got to know what are we fighting for? And you might have just heard my daughter in the background there. And that's it. That's what we're fighting for, man.
I agree with you, man. I actually got an email today from somebody who lives in Amsterdam. That's right next to Schenectady County. And he was telling me he's watching the National Guard base. He says it's booming over there. He says that they're still talking about disbanding the police department. He's very upset. And it's tough for me because my little niece, she's 4 years old. She lives in Amsterdam, and it's 5 miles away from Schenectady County. If they declare martial law there, I mean, I'm going to encourage my brother to come move up with me here.
Absolutely.
All right, folks. Yeah, I mean, we got to do this. Is for our family. This is for humanity in general, and that's the bottom line. Thank you for the call, Chuck. We're going to go to Dennis, Jeff, Kelly, and more on the other side. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com. The Pentagon plans to regrow human body parts. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis, and we are back. We'll go to your calls in just a moment. It's 866-582-9933 to get in. Soldiers wounded in combat will someday regrow their limbs if the Pentagon has its way. The Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, better known as DARPA, has just given Massachusetts Worcester Polytechnic Institute, WPI, a $570,000 one-year contract to get a mammal, preferably a human, to regenerate a large body part, such as a finger or even a limb. Now, they're already growing organs on mice. They'll grow an ear on there. They'll do that sort of thing. They're already de-aging mice. Another story out of today is that scientists find safer way to make human stem cells. A few weeks ago, we reported here at the Info Warrior that they were taking regular human skin cells, de-aging them using the de-aging technology that they have, and getting stem cells that way. Here's yet another way they're getting new human stem cells. U.S. researchers said on Thursday they have found a safer way to coax human skin cells into becoming powerful embryonic-like stem cells, taking a step closer to their potential use as treatments for diseases. A team at the University of Wisconsin said they made it the so-called induced pluriponent stem cells, or IPS cells, from human cells without using viruses or exotic genes. See, that's the problem. They always want to add a virus or an exotic genes or mutations. These guys did it without that, which leave behind genetic material that might pose risks if the cell were used as medical therapy. See, they'll even admit there with mutations and viruses and exotic genes, you're going to have problems. Earlier methods of making the iPS cells require the use of viruses as a vehicle or a vector to carry genes into the cells and trigger cell reprogramming. There are no harmful genes in this one. So it just shows you, technology is getting crazier and crazier and opener and opener. All right, let's go to Dennis in Florida. Dennis, how are you this evening?
Hey, Jason, good to talk to you again.
You got it.
Hi, I'm the guy that called about trying to get you with Free Talk Live, guys.
You know, Jones is going on that show now. I'm just letting...
is he really?
Yeah, I heard same guy produces me and Jones, and I heard him discussing earlier that he was going to be doing the Free Talk Live show. No, he's going to do it.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah, your wish is his command. He will be on Free Talk Live. I think it's going to be sometime next week.
I know I've said it, but it's going to make for great radio. But
okay.
What I want to ask you is your religious belief.
Am I religious?
Do you have any? Let me say this first. I'm a agnostic Zen Buddhist. what are you?
Well, that's interesting. Well, you know what? I grew up Christian. I didn't like that much, and it wasn't, you know, so much because of the religion itself. It was just the hypocritical nature of it, the fact that I would see people use it as a crutch on so many levels. Like, you see how they, cater
but
to...
also, I don't want to interrupt, but it's a crutch, but also something beautiful to lean on as well. And that's what I give a pass for that.
I hear you there, but when I say a crutch, I mean people that, you know, don't work and they recruit poor families and Jesus is going to save them. And that kind of mentality always turned me off. In college I took a religious class where we actually went up to a Buddhist monastery up in the Catskill Mountains, and it was all about that and what the Indians believed in Shintoism in Japan. You know, I don't like to go the religious route other than to say, hey, I believe there's something out there. I believe in good and evil. I know that those two things exist. But what I don't like to, you know, spout off about are things that I can't prove. And I try to stick to what I can prove here. So I'm not one of those guys that's going to judge somebody based on their religious beliefs. I don't particularly have any of my own other than I try to be a good person and I try to expose hypocrites. Because, you know, another thing that annoys me about religion, and especially Christianity in general, is that most people believe that the Bush boys, you know, father and son, are these great Christian people. And they're into the occult. You know, it's very annoying that people will... Yeah, go ahead.
I think we follow the same religion. We don't know it yet.
we might. I don't know. I would be lying and saying if I've never, you know, broken down and got on my knees and prayed for something. I don't know exactly who I'm praying to. I know a lot of people, he worships Satan. Or, you know, there's those people that just have the most ridiculous beliefs in the world. But, you know, I'm a small, 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 small piece of this universe just like anybody else.
You're humble?
I try to be, man. But you know what I mean? When you look at yourself, you're just a person like everybody else. And there's certain people out there, especially in the religious spectrum, that just want to give themselves some kind of a grandeur or have power over people or have influence and say that I have, you know, this kind of knowledge. I just can't get down with that, you know? And if people want to hate me for it, I guess they're just going to have to hate me for it. You know, I try to stay out of that
stuff. Everyone else, you know what makes you different? You're trying way harder for the right reasons, Jason. And please keep doing it, brother. I love it.
All right. Thank you, man. I thank you for the call.
All right.
All right. Let's jump to Jeff in Pennsylvania. Jeff, what's on your mind?
Hey, Jason. I'd like to talk about National Service and MIAC report.
Yep.
National Service, I have to disagree with you there. Obama has promised change, and if we're gonna have a better country, if we're gonna improve our communities, there has to be manpower there, and things have to get done. And there's just such a shortage of volunteers.
But don't you understand what this is going to be? I mean, honestly, man, this is going to be a bunch of new bureaucracies, a bunch of new programs when there's no other jobs because they've sent... Don't you understand they did this by design? All the jobs are gone because we don't make anything in this country anymore. The last thing we made were cars, and that's about to be done as well. So obviously, a lot of people are going to have to be looking for jobs. Now National Service comes in. You're taking away all their homes. Where are they going to live? Well, they'll live at the centers where people are doing their national service. Man, look, from 75,000 to 250,000. And, I mean, are you telling me that you're for children doing mandatory national service? Children.
Well, when you're...
Have you read the Give Act? Have you read the Give Act? Any other?
I've skimmed through a little bit of it.
Do you know, hold on, do you know about Section 1710? Let me just read you the headline. I got the bill in front of me. Section 1710 is the study to evaluate the effectiveness, hold on, are you ready for this, of a centralized electronic citizen verification system. Now, let me assure you, that has nothing to do with national service. It was put into this Give Act. And you know who's going to be conducting this little thing? The Department of Education. All right, this is for all children in school okay? And they're going to do no more than 18 months report back to Congress. And let me read you what Section 4 of this thing out of Section A is. The information that needs to be shared in order to fulfill employment eligibility requirements and recommendations for implementations of such a program. So in other words, they're telling you that if you're not part of this centralized electronic citizen verification system, and this is for children, by the way, because it's using the Department of Education. In other words, kids, everyone. I mean, you know how we made a big deal about the Real ID Act here last year, 2 years ago? Like, that was a big thing? This is even bigger. Because this isn't just somebody who has a license. This is your children and you. You will have to have some kind of an RFID verification to get a job in this country. I mean, you have to go. That's a centralized electronic citizen verification system. And that is just above Section 1801. And this is some of the national service. They're hijacking 9/11 as a day of remembrance, okay? This is going to be a knock-and-talk day for them. So people who want to join the call to service campaign, in other words, they'll have the people that have already signed up. You know what I'm talking about, right? The ones that have pledged themselves. These guys will already be in the calling. You pledged yourself?
I did make a pledge.
Okay, all right. So then someone like yourself, they'll contact you when they put this into place, and they're putting this into place 180 days, and this is part of the bill, call to service campaign, no less than 180 days after the enactment of this act. So it could be a little sooner. But since it did pass through the House, it just has to be signed by the president now. By the next 9/11, anyone who's already done this will be called to service and doing knocking on people's doors saying, we're encouraging all people of the United States, regardless, again, of age, race, ethnicity, and religion. You know, race, ethnicity, and religion, economic status, that's great. But when you start going age, I mean, that's literally could be child slave labor, man. And then on top of that, it says you'll be able to do full or part-time national service. Now, if it's a full-time gig, they're going to have to offer you some kind of monetary compensation or a home. No one's going to be able to, you know, do national service full-time unless there's a career in it. So literally what they've done is, through the Bush administration, created things like Homeland Security, expanded bureaucracies, and now they're going to bring in national service so that people get involved in Homeland Security-type programs. I mean, I gotta disagree with you. If it was just for what they're saying, soup kitchens and whatnot, and it wasn't for children, because there are specific parts of the act that literally say anybody in middle school will have to do 50 hours of community service a year. Now, I'm not against those kind of programs if they want to volunteer themselves. But I don't want my child or my brother's child to have to go to school and mandatorily do 50 hours of community service. It should be an option. Kind of like BOCES is an option, or if you want to be a future farmer of America in some regions is an option. You know those people. They're the ones that get, and I'm not, you know, trying to denigrate anybody, you know, because a lot of people, oh, the BOCES program. Hey, the BOCES program is great for some people. Some people, school is just not for them. You know, trade school is for them, and that's what that is. But to force everybody into it, and this is a government program, I mean, we got to keep... The government should be out of our lives as much as possible, and you're literally indoctrinating the kids from 12 to 14 until they get into high school, and then they double the service. And then outside of doubling the service, another part of this bill is saying it will be mandatory outside of high school, once you graduate high school, to either go to college or go to a secondary school. Mandatory. I mean, do you actually, all right, for instance, Obama, and I'm going to let you talk, because I have talked a lot, I'm going to give you the floor. Obama talked about in that fake State of the Union he did about 2 weeks ago. It wasn't a State of the Union, but it looked like one. How one of the reasons this country was going downhill was because of all of our high school dropouts, and he said that was no longer be an option. I mean, do you believe that? Do you believe that, you know, it was us, the people, that are bringing this country down? It's not the bankers?
Children should have to serve because it enriches them. I don't see any evidence of indoctrination. They're learning to help people.
I mean, have you seen any of these programs? How do you know what programs they're going to give the children, is what I'm saying? When you make something mandatory, they have to do it, okay? This is a law because this is actual legislation. So this isn't like color of law where they try to trick you into saying you have to have a vaccination or whatever. This is the real deal. This will be part of the program. You understand? This will be part of school now. Now, I'm 18. I graduate high school. I should have the option to do whatever I want, whether that be, you know, look for a job, go to college, travel, not do anything, stick my thumb up my rear, whatever. You know, this is America. I'm not saying that that's the most productive thing, but I should have that choice. He's saying, I'm not going to have that choice, that I will have to either go to college. And by the way, when you're in college, this bill says that you'll still have to do 100 hours of community service each year. Now, as far as I mean, did you go to college?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the only time that kids were doing community service in college is if they were caught underage drinking or caught with some pot. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing to do community service. I'm saying that they're now taking something that you did if you screwed up, and they're making it something you have to do. And it won't be just working at the Salvation Army. It won't just be, you know, going to a soup kitchen. Like I said, man, you know, my fraternity, every, you know, 3 or 4 months, we go down to the Lord's table and we, you know, we cook meals for the homeless. You know, I mean, that is a great thing. Not everybody does it. Great. That's fine. But when it's beyond soup kitchens, when it's to help with the military, because this guy, did you watch the Obama deception yet, by the way?
You
have not.
Still waiting for it in the mail.
Okay. I saw the stacks of orders. Some people, I got a call last night just getting it. There have been two instances on television where Obama has said that the military, the generals in the military, are asking for a civilian security force to complement them. That is what this is. This is a civilian military force in disguise. And listen, man, if I really thought what, you know, the media was portraying this as, you know, a call to service, John F. Kennedy, we're all going to be together. You know, again, they try to wrap it in somebody who did try to change the system, John F. Kennedy, our nation's longstanding in service. Am I going to sit here and tell you that I don't think that the, you know, citizenry has been dumbed down, that I don't think they've become more shallow and selfish than ever? They absolutely have. Self-absorbed, you bet. I mean, that was by design. You know, I mean, they gave us these credit cards. They told us to buy these homes. You know, they put these flashy cars on television. They present an image. And it sucks that the average person is weak-minded and falls for that stuff. But that doesn't mean that socialism is the answer. And by the way, none of this is really truly going to work, because they're not going to the root of the problem. The root of the problem is the fact that the Federal Reserve banking system has been printing money over and over and over again out of nothing. And other parts of the world are waking up to this, and now they're calling for this global currency. I mean, I just got to ask you, what do you expect to come out of this G20? Do you think that they're gonna announce the global currency afterwards? Obama's saying no. I mean, he said no. I'm gonna give him that. He was asked about it in that press conference a couple nights ago. He said no. But will we see it?
Well, it's not a global currency. We're still gonna have our dollar, though.
Yeah, but you don't understand. You understand that our dollar is the world reserve currency, right? The world reserve currency. It won't be the world reserve currency, okay? Pull it up. Jaron, put it on prisonplan.tv. Quantitative easing. Type that thing, and I showed you. The IMF, again, another thing hidden in this article, the IMF is talking about this global super currency they are going to print, and they're saying they're going to print it because people in the U.S. Treasury Department are calling for it. Now, you don't hear that in this media. This is in the Telegraph out of London. This is probably 2 weeks old now. Okay? When Geithner and Bernanke were both asked about it before Congress, they both put their heads down like little children and said, no, no. I guarantee you. Here it is. IMF poised to print billions of dollars in global quantitative easing, a global super currency in an unprecedented new effort to address the economic crisis. I'm just warning you, man. When guys like Gordon Brown, who are part of the National Sustainable Society, are coming in, when Barack Obama has his global warming climate czar, who's a part of the same thing, which is calling for global governance, when the House just passed an amalgamation of 160 different bills on the environment, a conservation bill as a land grab, and for carbon taxes that we've been telling you about. This carbon thing is real. You need to understand. Listen, man, you seem like a well-hearted guy. I'm going to tell you to go to these programs and go do these things in national service and tell me afterwards how you felt, whether it was zombie-like. And if it is zombie-like, help wake some other people up. It'll be under the guise of good. It always is, man. I thank you for the call. You're more than welcome to call in any other time. I like callers that disagree. I'm looking at the bill right now. And I can tell you that a centralized electronic citizen verification system for everybody that they're going to use through the Department of Education has nothing to do with national service. It has nothing to do with helping the poor. It has nothing to do with bringing this country back to its greatness. We do need to come together. We need to come together against this tyranny and this front man. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com. We are back. It is the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. Let's slam through a couple more calls, and then we're going to have Sheldon Anderson, a comedian out of Los Angeles, Hollywood, California, a place that really I loathe. I didn't care for it when I lived there, but it should be an interesting interview. Let's jump to Kelly in Iowa, or is it Indiana? Indiana, I think. Kelly, what's up?
Yeah, it's Iowa.
All right.
Caller, or the guest coming up, he's very interesting. I really liked him on Alex's show.
Oh, that's actually a different comedian. Patrice O'Neill will be on tomorrow evening in the first hour. This is a different comedian. But yeah, Patrice was great, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. You should hear it. Listen, you got to type in Patrice O'Neill O&A or Opie and Anthony and hear what he said on that show. I mean, obviously, we couldn't play that much of it because there was so much cursing. But I mean, for a newcomer, he was pretty well versed on what was going on.
As I say, I'm a newcomer to your show, but I'll definitely be checking it out. Today's the first day I've really been checking out your show. But, yeah, if he's going to be on tomorrow, I'm definitely going to be checking it out.
Yeah, no, and he's a funny guy, too. I mean, I don't know if you watch any of the stuff that's on TV, but, you know, he's pretty intertwined with pop culture. He's done a bunch of YouTube specials where they go over the big YouTube videos, best week ever, best month ever, you know, just all this stuff. And again, we're trying to reach out to people. You know, we can't just preach to the choir. We have to bring people in. I mean, look who I just talked to, Jeff in Pennsylvania. I mean, there's a bill out there that literally calls for compulsory, which means forced servitude of our children. And he's like, I think we just need a national day of service. It's not just a day. The national day of service is how they're hijacking 9/11. The real program is a full year, a new department of service that complements the military and is literally a police state-like Stasi force. I mean, we need to get people to wake up and read the bill. You know, don't read what other people are writing about the bill. Read the bill. You can download the bill. This is, I believe, the fourth version of the bill. This is the latest one. This is the one that's gone through the Senate now and now been passed. And people, just please read the bill. Anything else, Kelly?
Yeah, any people from Iowa knows that this violates the 13th Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
This is basically slavery. I mean, you can call it whatever you want. You pour perfume on a pig, it doesn't matter. It's the outcome is the same. You know, it's like Mussolini said, it doesn't matter if the corporation takes over the state or the state takes over the corporation, the outcome is the same. It's fascism.
That's right.
Period.
I agree. And, you know, it's just such another level for me because it's with our youth. It's with our children. And it disgusts me. I thank you for the call. We're going to jump to one more caller before the break. Let's go to Anti-Illuminati in Nevada. Anti, what's up?
Hey, Jason. How you doing?
Good, man.
Hey, I want to start off by reading a quote to you.
Sure.
This is regarding the avian bird flu. By the way, before I do that, I just want to mention I've sent you an email requesting to be a guest on your show, either your show or Alex's show, regarding the electronic identification thing that you were just talking about a couple minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
I have the whole technological background on all that I can explain probably better than anyone that you could ever have on your show unless they directly worked for the New World Order, like at the National Reconnaissance Office or something, and they decided to...
Are you one of the admins on the forum?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we're going to book you on my show, actually. I talked to Rob Dew about it this evening.
Oh, that'd be really cool.
You know, we're going to get you on the show. We did read that email. You're definitely going to be on my show. Look, man, I got to do this guest. If you want to hang over or call back in the next hour, call back in the next hour. I'll go back to you. We're going to stop for the calls for a second. Sheldon Anderson coming in after this. The Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com. that, people? The shelter line's coming around the corner. Only that shelter is a big old FEMA camp under the bridge. Sounds a lot like what Schwarzenegger's doing right now. Old Arnie. Yeah, he's rounding people up out of the parks in California and putting them into little camps. That's so nice. Well, Anti-Illuminati is in luck because I guess that our guest just canceled on us. I guess he ended up getting some gig at the comedy club. You can see some of his stuff on MySpace and YouTube and whatnot. And I guess he's not going to be able to do the show, so we're going to go back to Anti-Illuminati. Anti.
Thanks, Jason.
You got it.
This is what I'm going to read to you right now is a brief quote that's directly from a government website, the Department of Health and Human Services. It was a report to Congress that was titled Pandemic Influenza Preparedness Spending. The date on this is January 2009. They admit the following. Quote, a key goal of the Health and Human Services Pandemic Influenza Plan is to provide pandemic influenza vaccine to every American within 6 months of detection of sustained human-to-human transmission of pandemic influenza. So right there you have it. They admit that they have a vaccine. They're preparing vaccines for every single person in the United States, and they will administer them by force for you and your family.
Did you hear by chance the story I did about, I want to say it was like 3 days ago or beginning of the week, the fact that we have these new oral vaccines now? I mean, not that oral vaccines are anything new, but they're become more sophisticated, and they basically put it as, oh, you won't have to take a shot anymore. It'll be in your smoothie. And my greatest fear is that they're not going to tell you what it's in, and it's just going to be something you take inadvertently.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that about that specifically, but
Jaren, see if you can pull that up, man. Type in oral vaccinations into the little into that header that I showed you that we changed today. It should come up because I'm pretty sure you guys printed it for me. But yeah, I mean, it's craziness, and I hear you 100, if not 1,000%. I mean, the U.S. media has still done a complete blackout on the fact that the people at Baxter producing avian bird flu vaccinations had two different types of strains of avian bird flu in them, and another type of strain of influenza itself, just regular flu, and they sent this out to 14 countries.
Yeah, you know, Jason, actually, since we're on this topic, as an aside, I want to bring up something that nobody has really talked about regarding vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
I posted something about this, and it got, like, really light traffic because nobody, like, was really paid much attention to it. But the nanotechnology industry has gotten involved with this. They have been developing something called nanoparticle drug delivery. So you may have an issue where you're not only going to have to be worrying about cancer viruses and mercury in vaccines, but they could be conceivably putting nanoparticles in there that could do who knows what. Now, one thing I want to tie into that that is really interesting is you notice how the Food and Drug Administration not too long ago, they stated that they want to put a ban on colloidal silver.
Yeah, they do, and they want to restrict a lot of different things. Yeah, go ahead.
Isn't it interesting that colloidal or nano silver is the only thing that is recognized to cure Morgellons disease?
That is interesting. Listen, we're going to hold you over. I'll have you on the other segment. We're going to go to Emin and others after this. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis, PrisonPlan.tv, Infowars.com.
When I first met her, rockin' stockings and poppin' out of the Catholic school sweater. Mom told me she could do better than a criminal. 17-year-old psychotic trying to be lyrical. I never meant to break her heart and fuck up her life, but I was careless instead of treating her right. I seen her again at some club stripping. It wasn't if I could have made her life different.
I'm
All right, folks, we're going to keep going to your calls. We're going to go back to Anti-Illuminati. The call-in line is 866-582-9933. We're going to reschedule Sheldon Anderson, hopefully for some time next week. We got Patrice O'Neill coming in, or not coming in, but on the show tomorrow. I just want to read this headline to you. Goodbye needle, hello smoothie. New generation oral vaccine uses daily probiotics to protect against disease. Instead of a dreaded injection with a needle, someday getting vaccinated against a disease may be as pleasant as drinking a yogurt smoothie. A researcher from Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine has developed a new oral vaccine using probiotics, the healthy bacteria that are found in dairy products like yogurt and cheese. So you could very well be taking these quote-unquote vaccinations without even knowing it. Just crazy stuff. And what the point that you were trying to hit on is them trying to regulate and ban colloidal silver, and it's the one thing that can fight Morgellons, which seems to be this nanoparticle created disease. And we were talking about nanotech in the first hour. Nanotechnology are just these microscopic robots, folks, that act as bacteria or viruses and self-replicate again and again and again. And that's what seems to be this Morgellons, correct?
That seems to be the consensus on it, yes. That's, for example, Dr. Deagle makes that assertion. And there's another doctor, too. I don't remember her name off the top of my head, but she basically says the same thing regarding that. In other words, the gist of it is, how dare you try and protect yourself from our bioweapons? You know,
yeah,
it's
no,
like,
no, I hear you.
It's like, not only are we gonna release them on you, we're gonna stop you from protecting yourself from them. I mean, how evil can you get? You know, you're not even allowed to try to protect yourself from what they're doing.
Well, did you happen? You know, absolutely not. Did you happen to listen to the show last night where we played that clip of Ted Turner?
No.
Pull it up, Jaron. Pull up the Ted Turner. I mean, you know, these guys, I mean, and Ted Turner isn't even at the top of the food chain. And they will do anything to try to kill us. You know, whether it's fear-monger about global warming. In this clip, he fear-mongers about global warming, says that the reason the planet is getting so warm is because there's too many people using too much stuff, and that what it's going to lead to is a lot of us dying and then becoming cannibals. And that in order to stop this, that we need a quote-unquote sustainable, what is it, sustainable population? Hit it, Jaron. No audio, huh?
8 degrees will be 8 degrees hotter in 10, not 10, but in 30 or 40 years, and basically none of the crops will grow. Most of the people will have died, and the rest of us will be cannibals. Civilization will have broken down. What the few people that are left will be living in a failed state like Somalia or Sudan. And living conditions will be intolerable. The droughts will be so bad there'll be no more corn growing. Not doing it is suicide. Just like dropping bombs on each other, nuclear weapons is suicide. So we've got to stop doing the two suicidal things, which are
nuclear
hanging on to our nuclear weapons
and global emissions.
And then after that, we've got to stabilize the population. When I was born,
what's wrong with the population? I mean,
with too many people. That's why we have global warming. We have global warming because too many people are using too much stuff.
But
if there were less people, they'd be using less stuff.
See, right there he reveals himself. There's too many people. There's too many people right now. We need to stabilize the population. When they say stabilize the population, that means kill a bunch of people who aren't them. So it doesn't shock me that, you know, they're trying to use these bioweapons. Listen, man, we'll schedule you sometime next week, maybe Wednesday or Thursday. We'll have you on for a full hour. All right, man?
Okay, I appreciate it.
All right, you got it. All right, Thanks. Let's jump to the next caller. Let's go to Emmett in Kansas. Emmett, what's popping? We still got him? Or are we down?
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm calling. Yeah, I'm just going to congratulate you on your show. It's pretty awesome.
Well, thanks,
and,
man.
Yeah, and New World Order in schools is what I'm here to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And in my social studies class, we recently studied Karl Marx, and he was, like, overhyped, saying he was, like, an enlightenment thinker.
Mm-hmm. He was the guy who brought us the Communist Manifesto.
Yeah, and that's what they were trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I just heard Alex talking about that.
Yeah, well, because it was originally going to be, called the Socialist Manifesto instead. Because
yeah.
Communism and socialism are very similar to one another in that it's communal thinking. It's the state runs everything for everyone. You know what I mean? There
yeah.
is no free market. So in both systems, they try to portray that everybody's going to live equally and it's going to be the best way to do things. But that never happens because people are always corrupt at the top. So the leaders of the Communist Party always end up having the bigger houses, always end up having more power, more food, more money. And the same in a socialist society. But the gaps between the very wealthy or the elite and the very poor are much greater than when you have a society set up the way the United States used to be set up. But now you're seeing as they're, you know, going to socialism. And again, you know, the cover of Newsweek a few weeks ago is, we are all socialists now because we sold ourselves out to the Federal Reserve banking system, which is private, and we're nationalizing all these companies that are going under, such as Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. That basically means government control over people that used to loan out money. So we are creeping towards this socialism, and now that this Compulsory Service Act has happened, and you sound like a young man, I would be surprised if you're older than 14. If you're in middle school right now, and the president signs this bill, which obviously he's going to do since his administration put it forth, you're going to be doing 50 hours of community service as soon as next year under this Compulsory Service Act. And that is yet another sign of communism or socialism.
Yeah, and what makes me so angry is how they're almost honoring Karl Marx instead of letting us have our own opinions. They're like forcing us to say how good he was.
Really? That's interesting. Yeah. So they're saying, oh, Karl Marx was right. Enlightened. That is crazy. That is just, how old are you, by the way?
I'm 14.
You are 14. All right, so you're a freshman in high school right now, so you'll have to do the 100 hours of community service next year, man. Listen. Yeah, listen, you know what you need to do? Look up the Give Act tomorrow. Go to InfoWars or Prison Planet. There's some good sections there where you can just print off and say, you know, ask your teacher if they think that the compulsory service that's in this Give Act equates to socialism. Call me back sometime next week and we'll talk about it. All right, buddy?
Oh, yeah. And Prison Planet and InfoWars are actually blocked by...
Oh, at your school?
Yeah, they
Oh, not a shock. Not a shocker. Well, you know, just more censorship. Aren't they wonderful people? Why don't you tell people what school you go to so we can send them some emails and tell them we don't appreciate them blocking our website. And I'm not saying us. I'm saying the listeners out there. Go ahead.
Wichita, Kansas. Mm-hmm. And it's North High School.
North High School in Wichita, Kansas. Thanks for the call, Emmett. I thank you. There you go, folks. I mean, a young man... pretty smart young man, realizing that there's hero worship going on in his school for socialism and Karl Marx. And, of course, the good people over at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com are on the banned list. We must be some kind of pornography, Jaron. Jaron's always trolling for Glenn Beck in a towel on the Internet. So, you know, you never know what he's going to be looking for. We have to block some of those sites for him. In fact, I want to reiterate that point. Glenn Beck having the people from Glenn Beck having the good people from Popular Mechanics, a.k.a. Hearst Publications, or Hearst Propaganda, as I like to call it, on the program to debunk the FEMA camps. Doesn't matter if we have the bills. Doesn't matter if we have the Civilian Internment Camp Act from 2005 that's been declassified forever. Apparently, they don't exist. Before we go back to callers, I want to go on to this article right here. Hundreds of juvenile convictions reversed in Pennsylvania after kickback scandal. Now, again, this is something we reported on a week and a half ago. There was a corrupt judge out there. See, this is what happens when you privatize the prisons. When you give people an economic incentive to imprison people. Not just the slave labor incentive for, you know, the state, but for private corporations. The state is bad enough. But this is what happens when you pay people 39 cents an hour to do work for them. When a corporation is paid money to have children committed to these centers. Pennsylvania's highest court on Thursday overturned hundreds of juvenile convictions issued by a corrupt judge accused of taking millions of dollars in kickbacks to send kids to privately owned detention centers. Say it with me again. Privately owned detention centers. See what happens when it's private, folks? They put people in there on purpose so they can make money. Money. Michael Conahan, was it just Michael Conahan? Yes. Federal prosecutors charged Ciavarla and another Luzerne County judge. No, two judges. Michael Conahan and, I hope I'm saying it right, Ciavarla. Ciavarella and Conahan with taking $2.6 million in payoffs. Wow. It's unbelievable. $2.6 million to send kids to private prisons. I'm so glad they got caught. Thank God they got caught. All the kids that are getting off, the hundreds, it's being advised that they expunge the records of low-level offenders who appeared in Ciavella's court without lawyers and said that it numbered easily in the hundreds. So we may have hit over 1,000. I mean, give me a break. This is disgusting. Disgusting. And you know what? Now would be a good time to play that other clip on the other side, Paul. On the other side, we're going to show you a clip of some pro football player's girlfriend or wife, Ryan Motes. Basically, this woman's mother was dying, and they were rushing to the hospital to go see her before she died. They ran a red light, and the cop gets out, guns drawn. You don't want me to do nothing bad. I could make this bad for you. We'll be back after this. Is the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. It is the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. And I want to play this clip of this football player's girlfriend being just threatened. I could make this real bad for you. I don't care if your mom's a dying. Hit it up, guys.
This is video of a Dallas police officer pulling over a family trying to get to the bedside of a dying relative. As they pull into the Baylor Hospital parking lot in Plano, this is what happens.
Get in there. Let me see your hands. Get in there. Put your hands on the car. Do you understand?
Tamisha Motes, whose mother was dying, ignored Officer Robert Powell's commands and rushed to see her mother. But Officer Powell detained her husband, Houston, Texas running back Ryan Motes.
I got seconds before she's gone, man.
Motes can't find his insurance paperwork and is desperate to leave.
Listen, if I can't verify you,
my mother is dying right now. You're wasting my time.
If I can't verify you have insurance, I'm going to search the car. So you either find it or I'm going to throw the car.
As they argue, the officer gets irate.
Shut your mouth.
There you go.
Shut your mouth. You can cooperate and settle down, or I can just take you to jail for running a red light.
We talked to the NFL running back by phone. He says he's never in his life been treated like this.
For him not to be even sympathetic at all about, like, basically like we're dogs or something, you know, like we don't even matter.
We are dogs to them.
It basically shocked me.
I can screw you over. Yes, I'd rather not do that. Your attitude will dictate everything that happens.
Yes, sir.
And right now, your attitude sucks.
Twice, the hospital sends nurses to try and get the officer to let Motes go.
We're code here for the third time.
And even a Plano officer who stops to help makes a plea.
Hey, that's the nurse. She said that the mom's dying right now. She's doing nothing to get him up there for
us.
After more than 20 minutes, the officer ticketed Motes for running a red light. And after all of that,
I went up after she passed. I just held her hand, you know, but she was already gone.
Dallas police have apologized, dropped the ticket, and launched an investigation.
So officers do have discretion, and so, like I said, we expect them to use good judgment.
And he did not?
And, like I said, we feel like this officer may have, could have used better judgment in this case.
All right, pull it. I mean, give me a break. Folks, the nurse came out. Another officer was like, what are you doing? The lady's dying. Do you understand? I mean, we have just lost it in this country, folks. Lost it. He could have easily just run the guy's plates, verified who he said he was, and said, I'm sorry, go ahead. Paul's asking me if they have the auto scan registration. Some of them do, and not everybody. It's not everywhere. Oh, and was that in Texas? That was in Texas? Oh, that was in Dallas. I don't know. I'm not paying attention that much. Oh, well, I guess then they might have that. I don't want to say because I'm not 110%. All right. Let's go to one more caller before the break, and then we're going to keep going to your calls and blitzing through the news. Let's go with Sherry in Texas. Sherry, what's on your mind? Yes, Sherry. You're on the air. Did we lose her?
Hello?
Yes, you're on.
Okay. I was just responding to that that young man earlier who was talking about his school glorifying Karl Marx. My jaw dropped whenever I heard that because I was like, oh. Karl Marx was one of the founders of communism, right?
And he wrote the Communist Manifesto.
Yeah, he wrote the Communist Manifesto.
With help. I mean, he was also, he wasn't the only guy.
I would like for those teachers to first get a brain and then watch the bloody history of communism. And then after watching that, to tell those students with a straight face that, you know, Karl Marx was a wonderful guy. Because the reason why communism is so bad is because they don't believe in any kind of God, and they believe that because there's no God, that means that man is just an animal, just like any other animal.
Well, they certainly don't give us any kind of human rights in communism. It's all about the state and the leaders of the state. All right, Sherry, I thank you for the call. We're going to go to Jeremy, Mark, and others. On the other side, it's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com. That the economy is sucking for everybody. You know, often on this program, I've just been going through who's laying off people, and Google is going to cut 200 sales and marketing jobs. Google Inc. is cutting its sales and marketing team by roughly 200 employees, saying it had overinvested in certain parts of the company. In January, Google laid off about 100 recruiters and said it was said up to 40 people would be laid off in February when Google pulled the plug on its radio advertising effort. Google is the number one search engine in the United States with roughly 63% of the market share, according to ComScore. In 2008, 97% of Google's $21.8 billion in revenue came from advertising. This is a multi-billion dollar company, multi-billion dollar company. It is number one search engine in the world, and I do believe, it says in the United States, but I believe it's one of the number one sites in the world. Whether it's in the United States or not. And it's laying people off. Once again, Walmart seems to be the only one doing well in this economy. And in other tech news, Tesla unveils four-door electric sedan. Electric car startup Tesla Motors Incorporated unveiled its newest, cheapest vehicle on Thursday, a four-door sedan that can carry five adults and could travel to 300 miles per charge. Pretty impressive. Going to suck if you can't charge your car along those 300 miles, but I'm sure they're going to get around that with, you know, charger cells and whatever. The Model S will start at $49,900, about 50 G's. They say that's after a tax credit the government's going to give you for being green because they want to promote all this green nonsense. But, you know, I'm all for the... I really enjoyed Who Killed the Electric Car. I mean, the original electric car, they only allowed people to lease these things. And then they took them away and they crushed them. They're planning on making about 20,000 of these Model S's this year. I'm for this type of technology. I'm absolutely for this. They say that it can go 0 to 60 in about 5.5 to 6 seconds. And with a battery in the 300-mile range, I mean, at a top speed of 130 miles per hour, this is a viable car. This is the real deal. We could move away from fossil fuels. Not that fossil fuels are the demon that everybody is making them out to be.
Ooh, let's demonize fossil fuels. Ooh, that's so scary. All right, let's go to Jeremy in Kentucky. Jeremy, you're on the air.
How you doing, Jason?
You got it. What's up?
Yeah, it's just I could try to promote another radio show, but it is on GCN, and it comes on in the morning. So the Power Hour, I was listening to it this morning, and they were talking about this new gun ban that's actually got a number. It's House Resolution 1022.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I'm a big proactive Second Amendment person, and it would make just about everything I own illegal.
And when did this get introduced?
It said it got introduced right at the end of Bush's term, kind of hidden, and it's already in right now being voted on the 110th Congress. Mm-hmm. And you can go to, I went to thepowerhour.com mm-hmm. and linked to the current news, and they have a link to Public Magazine, or Republic Magazine.
Well, you can like go to, you can just go to the Library of Congress site and type in the bill number, and it'll, that's what I've been doing for the Give Act, is I've been putting in 1388. And if you do 1022, that way you can print all the subsections you want off.
Yeah, but it's got a real number and everything, and it's just, it's basically banning everything.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, hit me up on my MySpace with the bill number, and tomorrow I'll print it out, I'll try to go over it, and maybe I'll spend some time on it in tomorrow's show.
Sure.
All right, thanks a lot, I appreciate the call. It's because of callers like that, it's because of people, you know, sending me MySpace messages that I'm so up to date on the news, I could never keep up on all this myself. I mean, I do scour the news wires, I go over routers, I go over MSNBC, I go over the Telegraph, all that stuff, but I get a lot of stuff that I wouldn't get because people are very awake and very aware and helping me out. That's how I know that Glenn Beck is using popular mechanics to try to propagandize everybody. I mean, out of this world. All right, let's go to Mark in Wisconsin. Mark, how you doing this evening?
I'm actually good and not too good. I've been networking recently, met quite a few interesting new characters to throw into the activism mix, which is lovely. Mm-hmm. It's always good to bring new people into that fold. However, I was out on a little personal street action, passing out DVDs and flyers for the Obama deception, and one of the local shops in my area this evening, as a matter of fact, a couple hours ago, I was leaving some DVDs with some employees. I know half the people at work there and this and that, so, I mean, sometimes I'll just go in there, you know, just to nonsense talk and whatever for half an hour or so. Mm-hmm. BS around, but I left some flyers there, and I gave DVDs to a couple of people, and a couple of people were like, oh, what's this, you know, and like, then I started talking a little bit about what it was and, you know, some of the other stuff, and within about a minute and a half, one of the employees came over to me, who, he's one of the employees that I don't really usually talk to, he's usually not even there, like, when I'm there, but he comes over and he's like, hey, you know, you're more than welcome to, like, leave your stuff here and leave the pamphlets here and DVDs and whatever. He's like, we encourage that. But he's like, you know, you can't be, like, you know, offending customers with what you're saying. And, I mean, there is no swearing. This is totally clean-cut talk, mm-hmm. only making references to, you know, absolute fact. We're not even touching on insane lizard stuff. This is just all mainstream, hardcore, factual. And this can be backed up. Go look it up. Trust me. And my free speech was completely stifled. I was told to either, you know, go outside or elsewhere if I was going to continue talking about stuff like that.
Yeah, well, it scares people when you start talking about reality, and they think because, you know, of this MIAC report culture that we're some kind of threat to them, and that somehow you don't have the right to say certain things. And as Jesse Ventura says, you know, popular speech doesn't need to be protected. Unpopular speech does, and there is no way that you were taking part in any kind of hate speech. You were just trying to, you know, awaken some minds.
Yeah, absolutely is all that it was. And the thing that really shocked me more than anything else, to tell you the truth, Jason, was that this place is a place that not only do I go regularly, but it's also a place where, like, I wouldn't call it a head shop, but it's definitely kind of like, you know, they carry incense and posters and, you know what I mean, that kind of regalia and all that stuff. They don't really carry paraphernalia, but it's like, you know,
it's like a crazy gifts. Yeah,
yeah, it's like a little import store. They carry, like, disc golf discs and all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that would be the perfect place to be able to engage freely in that kind of conversation. And for somebody to, you know, approach me and, you know, basically say that, you know, wasn't welcome, first of all, I mean, doesn't that step on some sort of right, as a consumer, if I'm going to, you know, be inside that business, especially if I'm making a purchase? Would that not be, you know, some sort of infringement upon free speech? That's like saying, well, you're a customer of this business, but you can't say what you want to say in here. Like, I can see for foul language, and I can see for certain things that, you know, are obvious. You know, you're not going to, you know, go on some racial rant or this or that. But, I mean, when you're simply talking politics and you're simply talking facts, then
but the problem
I don't
is so many, listen,
that's
so many,
impossible.
So many people are so invested in Obama, and it sounds like this guy was invested. He's like, I voted for Obama. This is enough. I thank you for the call. They get so invested. This is their winner. This is the guy that's going to save everything. It's just like I had the caller call in and tell me he's going to take part in the National Service. And he thinks the National Service is good. And we need the National Service. And then I ask him, well, have you read the bill? He goes, parts of it. And I go, well, what about this electronic verification system? What's that? No, but Jason, without the National Service, the country's not going to change. And I'm like, so compulsory service for children and a National Electronic Verification Act for your children is the change that you want to see? Jason, we're just not going to get better until we change. All right, let's go to Michael in Utah. Michael, what's on your mind?
All right, so actually, you just were talking about it, and it's about the Give Act and service that mm-hmm. we're going to be required to do. You know, I as an American citizen, you know, we have freedom to do what we want, you know, within law. Like, we shouldn't kill and steal and harm other people, you know.
Yeah.
Like those things. But as a person of the community, you know, I mean, I do as much community help as I can. And there's a lot of people out there that don't do shit every day.
Well, I got to let you go, man. You got to watch yourself when you say stuff like that.
Oh,
I want to keep you on, but, you know, I do a PG radio program, G-rated at times. I get a little PG. Sometimes you'll get a little, like, almost like 2.5 men style humor. But you got to, I hear you. There are so many people that don't do anything, but that doesn't mean we all should have to do something that they tell us to do. It's not volunteer service if you're not volunteering, obviously. All right, let's jump to Steven in Texas. Steven, what's poppin'?
Hey, good evening, Jason. You know, I was just thinking when you're talking about this guy that called in saying he wants to join Obama's...
No, he's joined.
...army there.
He's done it. He signed up.
You know, it's like Takeoff. Have you ever heard years ago on PBS there was a show, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood?
I used to watch Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking, you know, Mr. Obama's hood, you know, it's a beautiful new world order hood, a beautiful, we won't close the borders, would you be mine, you know, and that kind of thing. So, you don't even think about what they're doing, you know, but I wanted to just let you know real quick about an incident that happened to me today. You know, I try to keep up on what's going on, and I call in talk shows. You know, Alex encourages us to do this. And there's a local station here in the Houston area, KTRH 740 AM. They're a big clear channel station, so I have no doubt that the people who are running it are in on this whole thing. You know, from what I know with them, they're tied with the voting booths, you know, machines.
Oh, clear channel is all about censorship.
Yeah. And so anyway, this guy, Michael Berry, he's like the operations manager, and he has a show in the afternoon. And so I called in, and he was asking the question. He was talking about these tea parties, and he was saying, you know, what's your answer? What are you doing? Well, I called in, and the first thing I said was, first of all, I said, I think that, you know, what these people are doing, I mean, it's great that the American people are, you know, wanting to do something, and they're, you know, in a sense getting up in arms. But I said, really, I think that what they're doing is totally useless, because it's kind of like little kids sniveling and whining and just complaining and, you know, you better give my toys back to me, and then stamping on the ground. And but I said, if they really wanted to accomplish, you know, what they're putting forth, what they ought to do en masse, and I was just approaching this from the point of view what they're doing and the message they're trying to get across, which is stop using our taxes to fund your bailouts. They ought to be, have a tax revolt. And he says, well, have you joined this movement? I said, I pay taxes. I said, but you're missing the point. I'm not being in on this thing because I think it's useless, because the people that they're protesting, they're just sitting back there laughing at these people. It's falling on deaf ears. And so he said, you know, here you are, you know, saying that, you know, what they should do, and you're not even doing it yourself. And he totally missed the point, because after that, I was going, and I mentioned to him, I said, I'm part of something that is doing something. I said, it's the 9/11 Patriot Truth Movement. No, I don't want to hear about no movement. So he cut me off, and so what I did was I shot him an email, and I just told him, I said, Michael, you know, you're a moron. And, you know, I'm like Alex. I don't mince words. You know, I try to be nice, but this guy just aggravated me. I said, because here you try to come across, you're such a big and bad Texan, you're so conservative, and I said, you're such a typical media whore. I said, if you really want to do something, I said, I want to challenge you, and I dare you, and I gave him InfoWars. I gave him the ObamaDeception.net. I told him about the Obama deception, and I said, I dare you to go to these sites. I dare you to get a copy of this video and watch it for yourself, and I dare you to tune into Alex's show and even call him and do an interview with him. But I said, I know you won't, because you haven't got the guts. And I told him about your show as well. I said, if you want to get on board with something that's actually doing something and not just talking about it, I said, you're talk radio, but that's all you do is talk. You're not actually doing something. You need to get on board with this movement, because I said, the people that they are exposing, they're scared to death of this message, and that's why they're trying to stop it.
That's why they're trying to shut down the net. I mean, if you look at China, and I'm going to let you go because I can't, because I got that double over. I thank you for the call. Steven's one of our best callers. They just shut down YouTube in China. Over 1 billion people can no longer access YouTube. And I actually got some emails from people overseas saying, a lot of the Chinese don't even care. They're that apathetic. They're like, no big deal. They're that used to that kind of government censorship. They're that used to that type of control. Well, I'm not used to that type of control, and I refuse to be part of that type of control. And I'm going to fight that type of control. I mean, we are looking at that type of Chinese censorship worldwide. The type of one-child policies they have. The type of guilty until proven innocent state they have. I mean, the slave labor. Oh, my God. I don't understand why people can't get it through their heads. All right, let's go to Mitch in Virginia. Mitch, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, Jace?
Good, man.
I'm the one that sent you that message on MySpace about Obama working for Kissinger and Associates.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I've done my fair amount of research on it, and the only thing I can find remotely linking Obama's first job to Kissinger and Associates was a CEO. He was named CEO in 85, Haley, mm-hmm. I believe his name is.
Mm-hmm.
And Obama worked for Business International Corporation after his first job out of college. And I was just wondering if maybe you could shed some light on the sources that they got that out of and put in the Obama's deception.
You know, I'm not 100% sure. I know a lot of that is Tarpley stuff, and Tarpley's actually going to be coming back out to Texas to shoot stuff for Obama, too. I'm not sure if I'm going to have him in studio, but I'm definitely going to ask him, because I did read your email partially. I didn't really get to check the links and whatnot. But it is an interesting point, and we should flesh it out more. So I'm guessing they're going to do that in Obama, too, but I know we're going to be having Tarpley in the studio. I think that Aaron and Rob are going to pick him up tomorrow night. So I'll get Tarpley on it. I'll see what he has to say about the Kissinger Associates and Obama and how they are. Go ahead.
One person that did work for Kissinger Associates, so out of college, was Geithner. So I didn't know if maybe it was a mix-up or of information or whatnot.
I'll definitely check into it. I am far from perfect, and since that wasn't my movie, I was definitely not the one doing all the fact-checking, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand. I also wanted to ask you about the Chembusters and your opinion on those.
You talking about the chemtrails?
No, Chembusters. You ever heard of Chembusters?
No.
They are usually made out of fiberglass, metal shavings, and quartz crystals, and there's a bunch of videos on YouTube of people making them and what they do. But apparently they're supposed to bring the argon out of the atmosphere of the, you know, where the chemtrails are being spread. Mm-hmm. They also have tower busters, too, that they stick them near the towers that apparently, you know, attract the chemtrails towards the whatever they have installed.
I would have to check into that, man. That sounds... I don't want to say it sounds outlandish and far-fetched, but sounds like I need to research it. You know, I have no idea. Chembusters, huh? Well, I will look into it. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. We'll be back taking your calls after this. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv.
guess about the crime. No one looks behind the curtain, and no one questions why. The only time we got is right about now. I cross my heart, I take the vow, I'll never turn, I'll never bend. I'm with you now until the end.
I'm sitting here looking at this special issue intelligence report going after all these racist groups. And inside I see Patriot groups and Patriot websites and Infowars.com in here. And the John Birch Society and the Constitution Party. And We the People. And I'm just completely and totally disgusted. It just shows you how badly they want to associate people who believe in the Constitution and Bill of Rights with racist hate groups. That's what they want. They want us to be seen as sinister, racist hate groups. It boggles my mind, and it really just, oh man, I gotta look at, oh. All right, let's just go to callers. All right, let's go to Carlos in New Mexico. Carlos, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. Cam busters that guy was talking about.
Yeah.
That is using the organic energy research of Wilhelm Reich. I think if you would talk to
who's doing this stuff, by the way? I mean, chemtrails are thousands of feet in the air. Who's putting these things out to kill chemtrails?
Well, yeah, I don't know about all that. I mean, but theoretically, they break them up. If I understood, you were talking about getting Len Horowitz as a guest.
Yeah, that's been a discussion. Sure.
Yeah, he would be a lot more knowledgeable than I would, mm-hmm. would be about it. But
it's
anyway,
just the first time I've ever heard of these chembuster things, and for me, it's just like they're so high in the air. Who's got the plane to go up and throw these up there to see that they work in the first place?
Oh no, they're on the ground. They're on the ground, and you, yeah. Like I say, I'm not.
All right,
real
I'll look into it. I gotcha. All right.
But what I wanted to call about was the bashing of Marx that was going on tonight. Actually, he was an enlightened and a great thinker during his era. He recognized the source of power as the capitalist, and recognized the parasitical nature of capitalism. He was an advocate for workers. His criticism of religion as the opiate of the people. You know, that has a little insight in it. Obviously, you know, Stalin, Mao, Hitler perverted his philosophy. But socialism in and of itself, you know, Social Security, Medicare, unemployment.
Well, you know, one of my better friends, I spent a good time, I want to say like 2-3 years on and off as a roommate of mine. He's one of my fraternity brothers as well. He loves Karl Marx. He's like, Burmese, oh, the Communist Manifesto, Karl Marx. And he's like, you don't understand. He was going against the evils of capitalism. And he's like, you don't understand. We've never had true communism or true socialism. And in its purest form, what he lines out here is actually good for the people. And my only argument is that stuff never actually happens for the good of the people. No matter how much you put it on paper that we're all going to share things and we're all going to take care of one another, like Alex says, the scum rises to the top. And, you know, I don't want to bash the man or the ideas, but it's my understanding that he wasn't the only one that wrote that manifesto and that it was heavily swayed by larger powers. Carlos, I thank you for the insight. I thank you for the call. We even threw up a Karl Marx peace picture over at theprisonplanet.tv. We'll be back in about, 60 seconds or so. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes.
Paranoia strikes deep into your life, it will creep. Starts when you're all
is afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop.
And we are back, the final hour of the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. Folks, we're 9 to midnight central, 5 nights a week here. And this Friday, we'll actually have put 1 month in the can. 1 month down, guys, 11 more to go, huh? That's right, 11 more months of what? What is it, Paul? Making history? Radio gold, that's what it is. I don't thank those guys enough. Paul Hartman and Jaron, they're actually really fun to work with. They're funny guys. They try to keep it light out there while I'm talking about some dark stuff. All right, let's go to Mark in Minnesota. Mark, what's on your mind?
Hi, Jason.
How you doing?
Hey, I was just I was thinking about that Give Act, you know, and I downloaded it. You know, and it's like 294 pages in a PDF file, you know, and it's I was just kind of wondering who writes these bills and how long does it take to write them and how long have they been written, you know, I wonder.
Well, they're usually wrote by think tanks first, okay? Now, before, remember, there's four different versions of this bill around, right?
Yeah.
So they usually commission it to a think tank or a special interest group or something of that nature, and they'll put something together. Then they'll agree on something, they'll put it before Congress. Then Congress will look at it, then members of Congress individually will want to rewrite subsections and sections of the law or try to put other ones in. Okay, so then once that's done and they voted on it, like they did with this bill in past, then it gets rewritten again. They go through and they change wording. See, that's what's so slick about these bills. They can change wording at almost any juncture before the president signs it. So we're on the fourth version of this bill. They can put subtle changes in there anywhere they'd like. And, you know, it's really one of those processes, but really the people that are writing our legislation are special interest groups, think tanks, and the elite. The elite are guiding them. And, when it really gets into Congress, any legitimate piece of legislation that one congressman or one senator or a group of, people that are trying to do a genuinely good thing always gets shot down. You notice nothing ever presented by, nothing presented by Ron Paul ever gets through. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, exactly. So these are literally like, Jones talks about. These are things they talk about in the CFR, things they talk about in the United Nations. These are provisions they want. You know, that's why I read that. I don't know if you, let me see my little article here. I heard this one earlier tonight. But Congress approves landmark conservation bill. Now in this, Reuters report, they don't even give, the bill number because I wanted to go look it up. When I read this, it just totally shocked me. The measure packaged more than 160 bills. So they take all of this separate legislation that they know nobody has read all of, and they package it into one bill, and then they sell it as this conservation bill that is going to change things for the next 20 years. And it's going to create great things. But when in fact, just what I've read from the mainstream article, this is a land grab of more than 15 million acres. Wait, no, I'm sorry. 26, 15, it looks like 40 million acres in the United States alone. And it probably had a bunch of provisions for the carbon tax. So really, you know, these laws aren't, the people don't write these laws. And you know that it's gotten all this lawyer jargon in it on purpose so that they can just say whatever they want. I mean, you tell me how in the Give Act, Section 1710, the study to evaluate the effectiveness of a centralized electronic citizen verification system has anything to do with public service, anything.
No, it's just crazy. Just to think that the language of mandatory or required should automatically just be a red flag and the lawmakers shouldn't even vote for it, you know. Or
compulsory. Yeah, and yeah. They don't say that. And the media just, no, it doesn't exist. They're, it's for soup kitchens. There's no compulsory service. I thank you for the call. We're going to go to Jesse, Easy, Rita, and more. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burr.
Well, we
right to your calls. Let's go to Jesse in New York. Jesse, you're on the air.
Hey, Jason.
How you doing?
Good. I just wanted to point your attention to this article. The headline is "No Mechanical Icing Problems Found with Doomed Flight."
And this is the flight out of Buffalo that they said iced over?
Yes.
Okay.
The first paragraph says, "Federal safety investigators say they've found no mechanical problems with the commuter plane that crashed outside Buffalo last month, and no evidence that icing conditions affected the plane's flight controls."
Well, I just don't know what happened there. I was watching TV when that went down. What I noticed was that, you know, this plane crashed in an open area. It did hit a house, but there was debris. There was no doubt there was a plane crash there. There was a lot of fire. They couldn't put out the fire for quite some time, and there were big parts of a plane. And what I've been telling people is, look, you know, we just had this plane crash in Buffalo. There's obviously plane parts. There's obviously fire everywhere. It took forever to put it out. Why didn't we have the same thing in Shanksville, Pennsylvania on 9/11 when a plane went down in an open field there? Where were the plane parts? Where was the fire? So I don't really know what happened there yet. It does, you know, everything looks suspicious until you really put a microscope under it. I don't know if they've gone through the black boxes. I'm sure they found those. Who knows what happened there?
Was supposed to have that lady on it, right?
Well, it didn't. No, not supposed to. It had one of the women who was a 9/11 family victim member who had been asking for the truth for quite some time and expressed her distrust of the government on Amy Goodman and other programs. In fact, I have one of the very first news programs back in 2002, 2003, where she's advocating before the creation of a 9/11 commission that there needs to be an investigation in what happened. And she was basically saying, you know, there's no doubt that they knew. You know, she was talking about all the intelligence ties. What was her name? Beverly Eckert, I think it is?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, Beverly Eckert. I mean, would they kill all those people just to kill her? I mean, I wouldn't put it past these people. They're absolutely bloodthirsty. But I'm not sure that she posed that much of a threat. You know, it's just like Paul Greengrass. Paul Wellstone, one of the few senators out there that was talking about, I think he was talking about David Ray Griffin's book, A New Pearl Harbor, and he wanted some kind of an independent investigation into 9/11. He gets on his plane with his family, which was a private plane, and that went down. And there's conspiracy theories that swirl around there, but when you talk to Jesse Ventura, he says, you know, I talked to him that day, and I told him not to fly. So all I know is that it was snowing in Buffalo. God knows what's happened. I've been on planes that have had some serious, more than turbulence. And I've also landed on a couple runways that weren't only icy, but with the wings swung a little bit. I mean, worried me. So, you know, I don't want to jump to any conclusions on that one. I need more evidence. I thank you for the call, my man. All right, let's jump to Easy in Florida. Easy, are you easy going tonight or what, brother?
What's that?
Are you easy going tonight or what?
Oh, always, man. Always. How you doing, man? I just wanted to congratulate you on the new show. And, well,
thank you.
You know, Fable Enemies was definitely a great documentary. I seen what they did to the Loose Change on, I believe it was National Geographic or History Channel or something like that. Where they didn't talk about half the real issues in there, and they could never do that with Fabled Enemies. That was a good,
That was the effort, is that they couldn't, you know, point to things like controlled demolition, because they outright lied in that History Channel piece. I mean, there's point where they say, you know, this is in between, the release of, we've released the second edition, but we haven't released the final cut, which is really a completely new movie. And they say on the air that we're going to be moving away from the controlled demolition of the World Trade Center in the final cut. We did no such thing. I mean, they lied so many times in that. For instance, in the beginning when I start talking about the FBI talking about explosives on the ground, he goes,
exactly.
Oh, well, it wasn't FBI agents talking about that. It was Dawson, and he was talking to Albert Turi. And Albert Turi is another example of talking about secondary devices. But there's that famous video out there of the FBI talking about truck bombs. I think it's on CBS or NBC to bring the buildings down, secondary explosives.
Yeah.
So I didn't lie to those people.
Yeah, they didn't talk about Newton's law of gravity or anything like that. You know what I mean? I don't know.
No, but, it was total hippies.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you guys if you've seen the Daniel Hannan on Caputo. I think it was yesterday.
Was this the guy that went after Gordon Brown?
Yeah, exactly. I was wondering why I wasn't on the website or anything like that, because it sounds pretty big when I heard it. I heard it from one of my friend's mom. She said that this guy who's running for prime minister in England wasn't, like, he said, he was like, oh, Ron Paul, like, you know what I mean? And,
well, you know, when I got a lot of those emails, but people weren't clear on why it was important, no one put in the subtext line that Ron Paul was mentioned, so I didn't watch them, because a lot of people gave me those YouTube clips. I will,
okay.
If you get myspace.com/Jason Burmes, you send it to me, I will look at it tomorrow, and if it's as good as everybody's saying it is, we'll definitely post it. I mean, we just get so much news here, and we try to break as much news as we can and cover as much news as we can, but in between guests and running around trying to make films, and, you know, they're picking up Tarpley tomorrow, and there's a crew going out to Sacramento tomorrow to shoot some other stuff. We're just expanding and trying to get as big time as we can, like Paul Hartman's throwing it up over there in the back. And sometimes we miss stuff. We're definitely not perfect. I mean, I had somebody call in the first week of my show and give me this article on the head of Rothschild, this guy named Stephen Lennett. He's the vice chair over there. And back in November of 08, he was calling for a carbon-taxed global government banking system that would bring in a new world order. I mean, that's the synopsis of the article with new world order in it. And I missed that, you know, so thank God for callers like you. Send it to me in MySpace and I'll check it out. All right.
No problem. I had just one more thing to say.
Yep. Go ahead. Did we miss him? Did we drop him?
Communist.
What's that?
I'm sorry. About the caller that called earlier. He was talking about how Marx, there was no true communist or whatever.
Yeah.
Just to say, there's the same thing. There's never been a real, true, free market, capitalist, democratic society. You know what I mean? So
yeah, it's all corrupt. It's just there's levels of corruption. You know what I'm saying? And
exactly.
Communism.
So this
I'm sorry.
Is the best way.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we're far from perfect, but like I hate having to attack this Zeitgeist thing. But there's a whole new video out there. Not only Zeitgeist Addendum, but there's a new Zeitgeist Activist video that's an hour and 37 minutes. And from the emails, I only watched the first 10 minutes of it. Tried to get him on the show. He refused to come on. He's got an 83.
He doesn't want it.
No, he doesn't want any of this. He's got an 83-page PDF on. And I'd be nice to the guy because I actually like some of those movies. I think he's a talented guy. I just think he's way off on the kind of society that he wants. And, but this gets even crazier. Like, this one is telling us that we should let computers make all the decisions and that we do need to be part of, like, this hive-like mind. In other words, this worldwide mind that I speak out against all the time that was on PBS and is promoted by the elite, he's for. So you got to see beyond the veil. Thank you for the call, Easy.
Definitely.
Thanks for tuning in, brother. All right, let's go to Rita in Illinois. Rita, what's up?
Jason?
Yes.
Yeah, I did see the Worldwide Mind. Now that you mentioned that, remember I called you up and asked you?
Yes, it's crazy, right?
Oh, it's loony. It is loony. Anyway, here's the reason I'm calling right now is that the guy who called with the Ken Bosters and the guy after him, I would think that you would like Wilhelm Reich. The feds came and burned all his books. He wrote a book called The Mass Psychology of Fascism. He also he was a contemporary of Einstein and Freud. And he was a rising star, and then he figured out this Oregon energy, and all of a sudden the government wanted him shut up.
Are we talking about Tesla?
Did you ever see the videos on Tesla? He's another one at all.
Oh, no, I you know what? I actually downloaded a torrent pack a few years ago on Tesla, a lot of his writing. Yeah, I mean, he's got some very interesting stuff. I would be lying if I said it wasn't.
A remote control submarine, and he had it in Central Park like in 1900. He gave all these secrets to the government over all these wild inventions that we think that NASA's coming up with and everything, you know. He came up with see the Tesla videos. Also, look up Wilhelm Reich, this guy here. He got it to rain in deserts and stuff with his Oregon energy. But the feds locked him up, and he died in prison because one of his associates moved one of these illegal Oregon machines, which has no moving parts. You know, there's some real wild stuff to him. Wilhelm Reich. And then if you haven't seen your Tesla videos, see those. This will just blow your mind. Every mad scientist you saw like in 30s movies with the Tesla's lightning bolts all over, they were trying to demonize both of these guys, Reich and Tesla.
All right, I'll check it out for sure.
The government really hated them.
I got to let you go because of that echo, but I will check out. Tesla I'm already kind of into. I'm not full into Tesla. I know that, you know, there's people out there who have talked about not only the open circuit currency, but the fact that he had a wireless power plant. It was either in the late 1800s or early 1900s. Wilhelm Reich, I am not familiar with. I learn something every new every learn something new every night. Not sure if that woman is the same woman that advised me to watch They Sold Their Soul for Rock and Roll, but if it is and you're still listening, I did download it. I watched the first 30 minutes of one. I promise I'm going to get through all four of them. I did have a big problem with the first 30 minutes of that one. Maybe I'll go into it some other time, but it was basically about Columbine and Satanism, and just didn't really draw the parallels there that they were drawing, because there was a lot more to the story. But that brings me to another point that I almost forgot about talking about tonight. I got a hold of that Hillary movie that the Supreme Court has watched and will rule on in June whether or not they have to label it, you know, a political ad, or have to show who funded it, or they can restrict it from coming into theaters. All these crazy things, or if they can censor it altogether. And I got to tell you, I mean, I did not like a lot of the talking heads in it. And Coulter, Dick Morris, all these obvious, you know, conservative agenda people. However, some of the information was somewhat hardcore. It was a little milquetoast. I'm going to come back. I'm going to talk about Hillary the movie. I'm going to continue to take your calls. It's the InfoWars with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlan.tv, InfoWars.com. So jumbled, I'm all over the place. I say I'm going to talk about the Hillary movie, and we're going to do that in a moment, but I am joined right now by the Jones Report's own, that's jonesreport.com, folks, the Jones Report's own head writer and editor over here, Aaron Dykes, a valuable member of the team. How you doing tonight, Aaron?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good. So he's outside, and he's talking to the two board ops while I'm taking that call, and she's a great caller. I would have let her talk a little bit longer, but I couldn't talk myself without doubling over in my mic, and it comes over on the radio. But she was talking about Wilhelm Reich, and Aaron is my resident, know a lot more than me. He's always got a stack of videos or books that I haven't seen. He's like, oh, you never seen this one, Burmes? And da-da-da-da. But you've seen some of Reich's stuff, huh?
Yeah, I don't know that much about Reich, but I've seen a pseudo-documentary, pseudo-fiction movie called W.R., as in William Reich, Mysteries of the Organism.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of deals with a lot of the stuff he was into, some of the sexual therapy. He was apparently one of Freud's assistants.
Mm-hmm.
I know. But, yeah, they interview his wife in the movie, who explains that, yeah, he died in prison as a political prisoner, and they seized his writings and took it to one of these factories where they just, like, wholesale burn your writings. Like, this guy has gone too far in society. Time to liquidate, you know.
Yeah.
Scientific research, basically, I mean.
So if I can pick your brain about something else, you know, this Hillary movie in the Supreme Court, I got to watch a little of it last night. I'm going to make sure that you get some so you can watch it yourself.
Okay, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, but here's the deal. They do overtly make it look like almost a political ad. In other words, Ann Coulter, Dick Morris, all these, you know, obvious conservative talking heads. But then they bring in things like Kathleen Willey. You know who Kathleen Willey is? Kathleen Willey is one of the people that Clinton tried to fool around with, and she was like, no. No, Bill.
Oh, yeah.
No. Yeah, and then she started getting threatened, and actually the intelligence officer that they hired is on there saying that he was hired, he wouldn't say for what, but her cat got murdered, and there was a cat skull on her porch. Now, that's kind of hard-hitting. You know, you see that stuff.
Yeah.
Interesting. And they touch upon the Chinese stuff, you know, the Chinese, you know, illegally funding their campaigns and 14 convictions. Kind of hard-hitting. It's nowhere near, you know, MENA, Arkansas drug running. It's nowhere near any of the real scandals.
Not the dark stuff, huh?
Not the dark stuff. So it almost seems like this might be a setup in a way where they wanted to make something that looked like a political ad so that they could rule on it, Aaron. It should be unprecedented either way, don't you think?
It sounds a little like that to me. I don't like I hope they don't rule any kind of restrictions, obviously.
Well, when Scalia says we have to figure out whether somebody can write and publish it, and that's covered by free speech, I mean, that sounds...
Oh, it's terrible.
It's vomitous, my friend. It's absolutely vomitous. I actually had someone call in tonight, believe it or not, Dykes, that it had already signed up for the Service Corps for Obama. And he called in and said that the National Service
Plan
is
good. That's what we got to do for the country, right?
Yeah, he really... Oh. He was one of those guys. He's like, we got to do this for the country. And I'm like, dude, do you realize this is for 12-year-olds?
I just can't believe they've got this stuff all rammed through. It's, what, 60 days into the first 100 days here? Rahm Emanuel's been talking about this for a couple of years. We've been picking up on it, and it's already been rammed through.
There's four different types of the bills, so they kind of revise it each time. So you can't really even read what's in there. You know, everything gets subverted. You don't like being on the prisonplanet.tv?
They subverted it. Somebody's got the ultra close-up in there.
Yeah, that is the ultra close-up. All right, Dykes, I'll let you get out of here. Thank you for joining us, my friend. JonesReport.com is the website. The great Aaron Dykes, everybody. All right, let's go back to your phone calls. Let's go to Dan in Florida. Dan, what's popping?
Yeah, what's up?
How you doing, Hello? Man? Yes, you're on,
what's
sir.
Up, bro? How you doing tonight? Yeah, I was just reading some of the reports you guys got on Infowars.com. I see you guys were just talking about that National Service Bill. I'm about to watch that minute and 44-second video.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things it says here, you know, it was talking about, I didn't see anything about this before, but it's talking about how all individuals in the U.S., might have to perform such service. So, I mean, is this like a lifetime deal where you have to do something every year for a certain amount of hours, like community service?
Yes, that's exactly what this is, man. And they're going to make you feel guilty if you don't do it.
That's for everybody in the U.S., you're saying, for even like old farts and stuff, like really 90-year-olds.
I have not seen the provision for everybody. I have seen the provision for 12 years old and up. Okay, I've seen the provision for college students or people just out of high school. But then... I'm going to hold you over because there's a catch-all with this evaluate the effectiveness of a centralized electronic citizen verification system. If it's not for everybody, why is this in the bill? We'll be back after this. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. To get back to this caller and whether or not this is compulsory service for everybody, let me see what it states in the bill. It states that there will be compulsory service for middle schoolers, high schoolers, people after high school, and people in college. It does not say anything beyond that. However, the Call to Service campaign and the September 11th day of service, this is section 1801, call to service, not less than 180 days after the enactment of this act, the corporation shall conduct a nationwide call to service campaign to encourage all people of the United States, regardless of age, race, remember, age, race, ethnicity, religion, or economics, to engage in full-time or part-time national service. So they're going to ask everybody else to join. And a lot of people are going to voluntarily join. Notice they put in full time. You can't do something full time unless you can make a living at it. And this is socialism. What they're going to do is bring in programs. When they ask where are all these jobs going to come from that they're planning on bringing, how are all these people going to be put to work? They're going to be put to work for this service corps. So, I mean, to me, that means they're reaching out to everybody. It's not mandatory for everybody yet. But then, this is for everybody. But again, they're using the Department of Education and our children to get it through. This is section 1710 of the bill, study to evaluate the effectiveness of a centralized electronic citizen verification system. See, this is a way to track and trace everybody in the country.
Ooh,
and
microchips
make sure
that, in the brain now. All right.
Well, I don't know if this is quite the microchips in the brain thing, but this is how scary it is. The Corporation for National Community Service shall conduct a study to determine the effectiveness of a centralized electronic citizen verification system, which would allow the corporation, remember this is a newly set up Corporation for National and Community Service, give me a break, to share employment eligibility information with the Department of Education in order to reduce administrative burden and lower the cost for member programs. Now, this is going to be conducted by both the corporation and the Department of Education, and the information will need to be shared in order to fulfill employment eligibility requirements. In other words, you'll have to have electronic citizen verification to be employed in this country. I mean, why is that even in this bill? I thought this was a bill for soup kitchens. Why is there something more nightmarish than the Real ID Act in this bill for your children?
Yeah, I mean, I'm totally in opposition to that full thing. I'm not in violent opposition or anything like that, but I want to say I absolutely, totally disagree with that whole thing. First of all, I mean, what's the name of the thing? It's called Give Act or something like that, right?
Yeah, it's the Give Act, yes.
And it says, it's talking about, like, you know, volunteerism and things like that in the title. I mean, the title is totally deceptive. I know you guys actually mentioned that on your website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, I mean, I was going to say that before you guys actually put that article on the website. I mean, it's like total doublespeak. It says it's volunteerism in the title, but then it's basically mandatory for some people. I mean,
it's not basically. It's compulsory. It is forced servitude for your children under this act.
Right. I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's totally the opposite of volunteerism.
Yeah, exactly right.
I also wanted to point something out to you guys. It looks like you guys got that MIAC document banned, right?
We didn't get it banned. We got it so it's no longer going to be distributed to the police forces around the country and the private organizations they were sharing it with. Now they'll just classify it, or they'll come up with a new one. I mean, right in front of me, man, I got this magazine. It's called the Special Issue Intelligence Report, and it lists all these, first of all, it's all about anti-Semitism, people that hate gays, people that hate blacks, people that commit violent crimes. And then they have a section dedicated to quote-unquote patriot websites right here. Patriot websites. And, of course, Infowars.com is on here. And, it, you know, it's put there with, like, you know, I hate Jews.com, all these other things. And then they actually have all the patriot groups. Notice they don't mention any of the We Are Change groups, but everything else is right here, state by state, listed right there. And even in their, they realize how deceptive they're being, because even in their little disclaimer, remember, this is the cover of it is, you know, I mean, literally Nazis, neo-Nazis, swastikas. It's called The Year in Hate. But in their little discretionary thing, they say, listing here does not imply that the groups themselves advocate or engage in violence or other criminal activities or are racist. I mean, so then why did you put these people in there? You know, it's just a double speak out of both their mouths.
Just a real quick final point here, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw you guys had an article that I think was called Who Controls the Web, and it had David Icke in it. I'm not sure if I could say his full name, can I?
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, David Icke, it's got him in it and things like that. I got to confess, I actually just got done doing like 3 hours of research, I'm not exaggerating, and I watched the show every night. Tonight I did not watch the show. You guys didn't happen to have him on the show tonight, did you?
No. Why? Was there something?
Okay, I wanted to call in when you guys do have him in. That's the thing. I got some questions for him. Basically, are you guys planning on having him on anytime soon?
I think that Alex had him on about, I want to say,
it was like 2 months ago back.
I think it might even, was it back in January? Jared, no, it was like less than a month ago, right? Hold on, my guy's telling me.
It was
within
the past short while, man. It was like 2 months ago, maybe 3 months ago, something like that. But I was just wondering if maybe, Jason, you could possibly get him on the show, because I know, I've seen a lot of his interviews with Alex. And, you know, all due respect to Alex, he's pretty cool. I'm a follower of his work. You know, I agree with a lot of his viewpoints and stuff like that, mm-hmm. until he gets into Christianity. I'm not a Christian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not against it, but I'm just not a Christian, you know. But anyway, basically, I was just going to say, when Ike's on the show and stuff like that, I mean, Alex is, you know, he seems to get into a mood where he's ranting and raving and stuff like that. But if Ike was on with you, I know you're a lot calmer, man, you know, so you could probably really get into this stuff a little bit more in depth.
Well, the next time that we book him on that show, I'll book him on this one. We'll try to get a double book.
Let me tell you something, man. That would be an excellent idea.
All right, you got it, Dan. All right, let's jump to the next caller. Let's go to Dixie in Canada. Dixie, what's on your mind?
Hey, Jason. Calling you from Canada. Mm-hmm. I started listening to you when you'd fill in for AJ, and I'm really amazed. You're really coming into your own. I like your show a lot.
Well, thank you, man.
Two things. You had a guy call in, and he was giving out materials or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to know about, like, does he have a consumer right to be able to speak his mind?
Mm-hmm.
And really he doesn't, because...
No, I know.
Yeah, I thought you handled it well, but just...
Listen, I just want to explain it to people. You have a right in a public street or a public sector, but as soon as you're on private property, the owner or the manager of that private property does pretty much have dictatorial rule, unfortunately. I hear where he's coming from, because it's like, one of those head shop type deals, or like one of those places that you get, you know, blacklight posters and all that other stuff. So you would think it would be more of a relaxed mood. But people are so personally invested in who they follow politically, and especially this Obama craze. I mean, right in front of me, I have President for the Planet. There he is. He's the president of the planet. You know, this is the one. This is the guy. And people want to believe that. So, you know, it's just like if I had started, you know, and I did many a time, started talking about 9/11 in New York, and people would overhear me, and I would get into some altercations, unfortunately.
Yeah, some people just don't want to hear it. Plus, you gotta look at the shop owner's point of view, too, that some guy comes in and starts, you know, doing something ideological.
Customers.
If it turns off any customers, at the end of the day, it's bad for the bottom line, and he's there in business. I mean,
that's
you know,
right.
He wants to be cool with his customers, but not at the expense of losing a buck.
No, I hear you. I hear you.
The
too.
Other thing was the guy who called in, and he was kind of going on a little bit favorably about Marx. I just wanted to say, I'm big on the Mises forums over at Mises.org, the Austrian school. And people who are into socialism generally don't understand economics, and...
No, they all think that we're going to just take care of each other, and the economics, the fact that people are in business, they're just in business to screw one another over, and as long as that's the case, then business is never going to work. But the thing
right.
is that we're never going to be, I'm sorry, there's always going to be somebody out there that wants to take your car, take your house, take your wife, screw you over in some way. So that's why socialism and communism never work, because again, the people at the top just basically say, nope, this is what we're doing. And it broadens the gap between the poor and the rich. I mean, it makes it so huge that there is no middle class. There's just this dominant wealthy force at the top and this peasant class.
Right. Well, Mises, who is the guy, von Mises, is the guy who inspired Ron Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Mises' big work was he proved that socialism cannot calculate prices because there's no competition. So prices never get optimized. Like, you know, you can have somebody paying $100 for a pair of shoes because the government just says that's what shoes are worth. And eventually you end up with too expensive shoes and not enough food, which is what happened when, you know, like the Berlin Wall fell and we looked into East Germany. We saw a country that was like 30 years behind the West, and everyone was poor and everything was cold and everything was broken and old, and they were miserable. So socialism doesn't work, and but for an economic reason. And then the other thing is that in order to get everyone to share, you inevitably have to take from some people who produce well and give to people who do not produce well. And that's usually done with a gun. And capitalism's all about peace. It really is. These guys that we call capitalists are just monopolists. They use the state as a bully to give them monopoly power so they can transfer wealth. They use the banking system to transfer wealth. They don't actually compete. They use the government to prevent people from competing with them. They want.
Well, we used to break up. We used to have trust busting in this country, too. I mean, way back in the day, almost 100 years ago at this point. But, you know, Teddy Roosevelt did try to break up some of these bigger organizations. We just don't do that anymore. We don't break up monopolies. I'm sorry, folks. Windows is a monopoly. Just because Macintosh doesn't exist doesn't mean that Windows doesn't have the lockdown on PCs. I mean, let's be honest. Barely anybody knows about Linux or how to run it or what the offshoots are, and that you can even use it for all this software. I mean, when everything is made for one little computer source, Windows, that's a monopoly, and we never broke that up. The banking systems continue to become monopolies, and they continue to absorb one another, becoming more and more dangerous, and no one's talking about breaking them up. No, they're talking about centralizing power. And
sure.
They're talking about a World Bank. They're talking about the complete opposite of what this was about. It's capitalism to a certain degree. At least it used to be in this country. And then they would break it up for competition. It's the same thing that happened to, what was it, Bell Atlantic in the 80s. They realized, hey, these people have a dominant way over the phone systems. They're just totally too much. We have to break them up. It just doesn't happen anymore. And when it does happen, it's phony. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's a very good shell game that they run.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I'm conspiratorial, but this all seems very obvious. Like, the fascism is so obvious. And what they do is, even if they privatize something or they loosen regulations, it only favors a certain group. Privatization is pointless. Like, if you took Amtrak and made it private, it would be pointless if you also didn't let anyone else compete. You know, I have people say that to me all the time, like, well, you couldn't privatize the roads. Well, you could if other people could build roads. If you just give it to one private company, they can charge whatever they want. That's an old-fashioned monopoly. When the government or the king says, you're the only one who can sell this or produce it in the kingdom, jack up the prices and rape everyone.
Yeah, it's called supply and demand. When you're the only one to supply, you can demand whatever you like. Thank you for the call, Dixie. All right, let's jump to Eric in Texas. Eric, you're on the air.
What's up, man?
What's up, my man?
I was looking through, yesterday I got in the mail, I got this Val pack. I'm sure you've probably gotten one of those. Usually I just throw it away. But I was like, I think I'll just peruse through this. And, you know, they usually have, like, local advertisements and stuff like that. Well, this one had this United Way, give, advocate, volunteer, live united. And I see on here, like, usually, like, I'm a graphic designer myself, I've had to recreate the United Way symbol before, and usually it's just the red hand that turns into the rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
But now it looks exactly like the Obama symbol.
Really?
And you have, I mean, like, it's slightly different colors, but it's basically that the morning star, the morning sun, and it has all these people that are wearing these shirts that say "Live United." It says, give 10%, give 100%, give 110%. And it's like, one, to make a difference, United Way is creating lasting change by focusing on education, income, and health. That's what it means to live united.
Oh, the new United Way is a little bit different, isn't it? I've got it right here. Oh. They've incorporated it into a circle, and they've even used some of the color scheme, the blue and the red right there. We've got it on screen over at PrisonPlanet.tv right now. It does seem like everybody is jumping on this mass programming bandwagon to get people behind this Obama administration, whether it be the United Way, whether it be Pepsi, whether it be the amazing Spider-Man, or the Obama campaign itself. I mean, it is crazy.
Yeah, I know. I mean, like, I'll go to the supermarket and I'll just be talking to somebody and then, like, look, you know, like, right there by the register, there's, like, where there's, like, Coke and Pepsi and all that stuff. I'm like, you know, that's supposed to be, like, the Obama symbol. They're like, I never even thought about that.
Well, we are a dumbed-down mass, my friend. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Patrice O'Neill on Alex Jones today was just like, you know, how are we going to reach all these people that just don't care? He's like, Obama is, like, the coolest, man. I mean, as much as you want to dislike the guy after you find this stuff out, what is he doing? He's filling out the brackets for the March Madness tournament. And I think to myself, yeah, that is awesome.
Yeah, he's the man. But, I mean, like, not even just that, but, like, it even just, like, shows, like, join hands, open your heart. I'm going to have to send this over or whatever, but, like, lend your muscle, find your voice. And then it has, like, think of we, and italicized, before me.
Oh, we should think. There is no I in team, my friend. I thank you for the call. I mean, what is this? Am I about to play the state finals in baseball? I mean, yeah, I heard those things, no we in team. I got that, you know, or think we before me, no I in team. It really sounds like I'm about to, you know, go in for the double, my friend, and steal a base. I mean, this sounds like sports talk. And that's why they're using that kind of talk, is because it hits that part of the brain. Yeah, there is no I in team. Let's think of we before me. And then they show you the big circle, and you're thinking Obama subvertly. You don't even know it. You're like, yeah, maybe he should be the president of the planet. Maybe he gets done with his 8 years here after he wins again in the United States, after he brings in his National Service Corps. And we just make him world ruler, head of the UN. Or head of the North American Union by that point. God knows. All I know is that this is about a consolidation of power. This is their current front man. He can sit there and tell you there's not going to be a global currency while he puts his head down and tries to avoid the bulk of the question. but they're openly talking about it. He can tell you they're not gonna do that, but he's going to the G20. He's going to meet the Queen. What do you think the Queen's gonna tell him? We should have tea and crumpets sometime? You think that's what the conversation is going to be? I mean, what do you think these people discuss? How lovely her jewels are? No, they're setting policy before policy is set. It's the hand behind the hand. I know that you want to think that these are just tabloid figures with no power, but that's not reality, folks. This is the power structure, and this is the InfoWarrior with Jason Burmis. We'll be back with the final segment after this. InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv.
And I can't help but wonder, no Willie McBride, to all those who lie here know why they died. Did you really believe them when they told you the cause? Did you really believe that this war would end wars? Well, the suffering, the sorrow, the glory, the shame, the killing and dying, it was all done in vain. Oh, Willie McBride, it all happened again. And again, again,
and I hope it never happens again, folks. But that's what it seems like it's coming down to. One more big war to bring in the global government that they want so badly. The new world order that they write and dream about. That they openly propagandize amongst the masses. Whether it be Gordon Brown calling for a new world order 6 months ago on the front pages of the Planet or paper to save the planet, or it be George H.W. Bush giving a State of the Union address, or Hitler writing a book about it, or H.G. Wells writing a book about it, or Kissinger making it his goal back in the 70s. It's what they want. All right, let's jump to our final callers. Let's go to Jake in Minnesota. Jake, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I've been able to absorb some info from you and on the net while I'm at home with my broken leg here. So real quick, I just want to say on the Tesla thing, too, you know, Edison, on the other side, who invented DC, did public executions of dogs on AC to go against Tesla's works. And that, you know, he's the proclaimed person, you know.
Yeah, him and Tesla hated each other, but then again, then I've heard that on Edison's deathbed that he said the open circuit, OC, instead of the closed circuit, was actually better, and it was one of the things that he regretted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And another point I was going to make here, too, I went on the Obama site, it's like the dig site or, you know, kind of thing to vote on stuff, and the legalization of marijuana was overwhelming. I mean, it was kind of funny. They were spamming it everywhere and stuff. But, I mean, it was overwhelmingly the most popular thing on there. Just snubbed it off, which is kind of...
Well, they did that to 9/11 Truth, too. I mean, when it was originally introduced and they said, well, what do you want this president to do? The number one thing was reinvestigate 9/11, and they just pulled it. You don't have a right to speak. I mean, if you have a legitimate issue, sorry, no dice. No legitimate issues here. Just the issues we want to talk about. And we want to take place.
He phrases it like, too, you know, he said the question was about, you know, legalizing for the economy. And he's like, I don't think it's going to help with the economy. Well, there's a lot of other reasons, too, and they just picked up that one question. The last one, too, is, you know, I was just going to make here is that this federal land bill they're passing, too, or, you know, just giving a bunch of government land out.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, there's just so many people's bills jammed in that I could not believe it, but, yeah.
160 bills. How are you even supposed to read that?
I have no idea. But so, you know, the question is here is like, so all these huge bills are being passed and nobody's, you know, knows about it. But, you know, once they start to trickle in and people start to see like what these things happen, you know, what do you think is going to happen then? Or are they going to have to, I mean, is it just,
I think that people are going,
until that point,
listen,
or?
Yeah, I think people are going to join this call to service, like the guy that called me earlier and said that we need change, and that when they start to lose their house, they're going to turn to this call to service and they're going to offer them a spot in their FEMA camps where they work and live. I really believe that's going to happen. It disgusts me. I got to go. I got to take one more caller. Thank you, Jake. Let's go to John in California. Final caller. You got about 1 minute.
Hey, bud, I woke up kind of with loose change, and I wrote this poem about it, and I've been taking it all over L.A., and, you know, I'm performing it. And I was wondering if there was some place where I could send it to you just for, you know, just to check it out, see if you
sure,
like it.
MySpace.com, sure, MySpace.com/Jason Burmis.
Perfect. And the other thing is the give action. I was reading Paul Watson's articles, and there we referred to a title 6104, where there was investigation to create, see how you could make mandatory service for people. And they took it out, but the devious thing is that they can't, once an organization signs up for the grant money, every one of its constituents is then subject to this mandatory curriculum.
Great point. I gotta go. Call me tomorrow about it. We'll be talking Give Act and other things. We got Patrice O'Neill in the second hour. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com. Thank you all.